the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Boy, I've been looking forward to this interview. As I mentioned earlier in the program, when I was producing and segments for the Paranormal Paparazzi TV series on the Travel Channel last year, one of my favorite assignments was going so far out into West Texas that, I mean, you're there on the border. You can look over and you can literally see Mexico. You are in the middle of nowhere. You are in an uninhabitable zone, they say. And yet in the middle, a man lived for 6 years with his wife, completely self-sustained. He built a house that operated in 100% harmony with Mother Nature. And for 6 years, did not see anybody other than his wife. And when he reemerged, it's fascinating to hear sort of what had happened to his body and his perception of the outside world in the meantime. Since then, he has produced a lot of different material, some great books, websites that teach you how you can do the same thing and be self-sufficient. In fact, his website is DIY Sufficient, as in do-it-yourself, DIYsufficient.com. And one of his very popular books is Apocalypse, How to Survive a Global Crisis. Dan Martin, welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
Joshua, thank you for having me. It's been a while since we talked, huh?
Yes, it has. And, you know, I was really pleased with how the segment was edited and put together on Paranormal Paparazzi, and yet there was just so much more material that could have been dug into there and presented because, you know, Eric and I, we spent time with you. And you were showing us around your property and telling us how everything worked, how you built it. I mean, it was just genius how you put all this together. But let's start at the beginning. What was your life like before this, and what made you decide to say, hey, screw you guys, I'm out of here, and move to the middle of nowhere?
Let's go back a little ways. I was in the military. I served in Desert Storm, Desert Shield, in the 90s, late 90s. I got out and worked for Boeing Aerospace. Was with them for a while and living in San Antonio. And just doing the normal routine, you know, sitting 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half in traffic, standing in line at Walmart, sitting on hold with AT&T. And, you know, one day I kind of just, I don't know, I was sitting on hold or something, and I started thinking, how much of your life, how much of our life, my life, everybody's life, because we all do this, how much of our life is wasted, you know, on hold, in a line, in traffic, and waiting in the doctor's office, you know. And so I had a little counter on my phone, and they had me on hold, and it showed how long I'd been on hold. And I said, I'm just going to sit here and see, you know, count it. And I waited and waited and waited, and they didn't get back. And 45 minutes went by, an hour went by, an hour and a half went by, 2 hours went by. And, you know, at this point, any sane person would just hang up and call back again. That's what I always did before. But I really wanted to see, you know, what would happen if I just stayed on hold, you know, just act like a robot and just stayed there. And it was 3 hours and some 42 minutes or 32 minutes. And they finally somebody came back on the line, and they said, you know, have you been helped? Who are you waiting on? What department are you waiting on? And I said, blah, blah, blah. I've been on hold for 3 hours and 42 minutes. And they said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. That's ridiculous. That's insane. I will, we'll help you right away. No problem. Can you please hold?
Right.
And I'm like, you know, so from that point on, I started keeping a journal and counting how much I, you know, was on hold or in a line at Walmart. How much, how, you know, how long was I there? 10 minutes in a line. How long was I in a line at a bank? How long was I sitting in traffic waiting to go to work? and I added it all up, and combined for the regular person, and I'm sure there's people that are in traffic a lot longer than me and a lot longer lines than me, and it came out to be like 11.7 years of your life is just, you know, waiting, not living life, kind of in the middle, in lingo, you know. And I said, you know, so if I live to be 80 or something, it's really like I'm dying at 69, you know. And I thought, that's not acceptable. I'm not going to do that anymore. So, you know, I cashed in all my 401Ks. I turned all over, I rolled over all my investments and bought some solar panels and learned how to build some wind turbines. And we just completely moved off the grid. And there, when we got there, we bought a ranch way out in the middle of nowhere, like you said, out in the mountains, out in the desert. And there was nothing there, no road. The first time we went in, we had a helicopter in, because they don't even have, like, you know, markings on the property. And then we built our own road to get in there, but you still need a four-wheel drive. We built our own house, me and my wife, with recycled, you know, material, whatever we could find, telephone poles, railroad ties, pallets. And that's where we were there for 8 years. The first year we were going in and out, getting supplies and materials and stuff. And then once we were finished building, we locked up and we lived, you know, we butchered out our own goats and chickens and turkeys, and I had a fish farm going and hydroponics and, you know, fruits and vegetables, and we made methane and like you said, solar electricity, solar cooking, wind power, and we did that for about 6 more years, and then there was no water lines coming to the property, no sewer lines, no garbage pickup, no postal, no 911 service, no bills, no mortgage, no debt, no kind of expenses. There were no taxes because it's a, like you said, it's an uninhabitable zone. It's kind of like a Indian, you know, reserve or where they don't have taxes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you don't have any stress. You don't have any anxiety. You don't have any. It's just a much more peaceful life.
And so how did you know how to do all this stuff? I mean, people might say, well, I'd love to do that, but I could never do it. I mean, where did you obtain the knowledge to be able to create everything you needed there on your own?
Well, you know, I was the same as anybody else. I wasn't anything special. I got bad grades in school and had a little bit of college, but mostly I had to learn it all myself. I had a little bit of mechanical knowledge from Boeing and work on airplanes and stuff, but I took a lot of community college classes, you know, for anything from welding to woodworking to electricity and plumbing and carpentry, and went to pre-med and learned, you know, how to suture and how to, you know, all your basics, how to put a cast on and set a bone on a break. And I just learned it all. And then all the renewable energy stuff and alternative fuel stuff, that was pretty much trial and error. We didn't have, at the time, this was 10 years ago or something. At the time, you know, there wasn't a lot of knowledge on the internet and almost no books, you know, how-to books out. So you pretty much, you know, we were kind of pioneers at the time, and there was a lot of us doing it, but not many of us actually came back from it. So any kind of resources and material you're finding online now, it's probably not from somebody that actually did it, because, you know, those people, they just don't, once they go back there, you never hear from them again.
And so what was the sort of mental process of withdrawal like? I mean, literally withdrawing from society. I mean, did you do this and after, you know, a couple months say, okay, maybe this was a mistake. I'm going bonkers here because I need, you know, I'm missing something. Or, I mean, what was that process of transition like?
You know, I thought I would. I thought I'd have a huge problem with it. I mean, I had, you know, I'd grown up a little bit in northern Utah, did some hunting and fishing, and but for the most part, I've been immersed in society my whole life. So I really thought it'd be kind of a shock. But surprisingly, it really wasn't a shock going in. I had cut off I didn't have a phone or anything for the last couple years while still living in San Antonio. I didn't have a TV for the last couple years living in San Antonio, so that wasn't a big shock. You know, today I do consultations with people, I do seminars, and they're like, there's no way I could give up my cell phone. There's no way I could give up, you know, football. There's no way I could give up my car and this and that. So I might be a bigger shock for them in that way. But the bigger shock, actually, was coming back in society. I didn't expect that at all. But coming back, I was, you know, mentally sick, spiritually sick, physically sick. I couldn't process information as fast as everybody because they move in really fast, you know. They have, their senses are hyper, you know, hyper sensitive. They're processing babies crying and doors slamming and phones ringing and beeping sounds from a VCR and the computer sounding turning on and blenders and all, you know, all kinds of things you don't even realize that you're listening to, all the air conditioners and it's just intense, the amount of the bombardment of visual and smelling and sound sensations that you're bombarded with every day. So when I came back into society, it was just a huge overload, and I would get dizzy, I'd get nauseous, I'd hear ringing in my ears, I'd get headaches in my eyes, and just from these all this movement and sounds. And one of the worst things that happened to me was that, you know, before I left society, I got sick just like anybody else. I get the flu once a year. I get a cold here and there. And it's just pretty common stuff. When I left for the 6 years where we had zero contact with not one person, I didn't get sick not one time, which is, you know, it's just great. That's like utopia, you know. You never get sick again in your life. There's no germs out there. I'm not touching money. I'm not touching door handles that other people are touching. You know, people aren't sneezing on me in the bus or, you know, crossing the street. So I'm not getting sick at all. But when I came back into society, because my antibodies, my immune system, had kind of taken a vacation for 6 years because they had nothing to battle with, I had very few antibodies, and I got sick instantly. I would get sick once, twice, three times a month.
All right, we're going to go ahead and we got to take a break here, Dan. This is absolutely fascinating because, folks, what we're really, I think, talking about is almost a form of time travel. I mean, it's almost like you get to step 6 years into the future and see what has happened in the meantime. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Dan Martin about what he realized when he came back to society after being in, isolation for 6 years, but he was completely healthy and self-sufficient. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll continue on Speaking of Strange. Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. My guest this hour is Dan Martin. He is the author of the book Apocalypse, How to Survive a Global Crisis, and his website which is a great one, is DIYsufficient.com. As in, do it yourself. Dan Martin's DIY Sufficient. And we'll have that linked up for you at speakingofstrange.com as well. Before the break, Dan was talking about sort of reemerging after 6 years in seclusion, living entirely off the grid without human contact other than his wife. And before we continue, Dan, what were the specific years, the year that you went in and the year you came out?
Oh, good question. Let's see. We came out. When did we come out? 4 years ago? 3 years ago? 2010? So we came out 2010 and we went in 2003.
Okay. And so when you came out, you said the germs were so overwhelming because your body had not been evolving the defenses at the same rate that the germs were evolving outside, right?
Right. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, my mom would always encourage me to, like, you know, play in the dirt. She wasn't that type of person. I had to wash my hands a lot. And it makes a lot of sense because you want to ingest the bacteria and germs so your body can fight them off. But I never had the chance to do that when we were off the grid. So when I came back, I would get deathly sick instantly. You know, a cold would develop into pneumonia or something within days, where usually it takes months. Actually, when I took you and your cameraman out to the ranch that time,
mm-hmm.
Right after that, a few days later, I wound up in the Denver hospital. I was flying back to Mexico, and I wound up in the Denver hospital with pneumonia. My heart stopped beating, my lungs stopped working, and they put me in intensive care just 2 or 3 days after I saw you. I think that was because that had been the first time back into the United States since I left the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, I was getting sick and stuff on a regular basis down in Mexico, and we were traveling down to South America and Asia and stuff doing projects. So I was getting sick normally, but, you know, it's just a whole different set of germs when you come back to the United States that my body wasn't used to.
And plus, you know, Eric and I had been traveling all over the place with all this equipment, so who knows what we exposed you to. So now what was the biggest surprise about the way the culture had changed in 6 years?
We mentioned a little bit about time travel, and this kind of relates to that. When I left, let's go back a little further. When I went off into Saudi Arabia, and we spent 3 years over there, when I left, we had cell phones and whatnot, but they were kind of big, and they weren't color. They were black and white, and they were analog. They weren't digital. When I came back to the States, got out of the military, everybody had these nice kind of small digital phones. And I thought, wow, you know, that's like futuristic. And then we left we moved out to the ranch. And right before we shut the gates and completely left, people were, we came back out, and people were, like, walking around. Just they didn't have cell phones at all. They were just talking, you know, in the air. And come to find out that they have these little, you know, these little mechanisms, these little computerized things in their ear that they're talking up to, and that was kind of a shock seeing that. So then we leave for 6 years, and we come back, and nobody's got those anymore. Nobody's got any kind of cell phones, but they've got these like pads that they're not talking to. They're just typing on and you know, pushing buttons on, and that's how they're talking now. So the jumps in technology this few years was just, like you said, time travel. We didn't see it develop like you did. So it was pretty futuristic, pretty science fiction.
And your ability to process something like crossing the street or getting on an elevator before the door shut, that all changed as well, didn't it?
Right. I couldn't get into an elevator. You push the button, the doors would open, and I thought I was moving at normal speed. For me, it's normal speed, but the doors would shut on me every time, or crossing a crosswalk, or just walking down the street. People were like, you know, overpassing me, bumping into me, and I was just like a turtle. And people just flying around at these speeds. But when you're out there in the middle of nowhere, you know, time is just, it's, you're moving at the same speed, but it's just, it's just a different speed, I guess.
And so, given your unique perspective, do you think that our country has improved, or you know, is worse after a 6-year gap? Have we gone up or down, so to speak?
Worse for sure. When we left, we didn't even know about the economic collapse and the housing market thing. Of course, we didn't feel it. We never knew anything happened. We don't spend money. We don't make money. You know, so and so you had that, and then I don't really know too much about this president now. I didn't know he was elected until a few months after we got back out off the ranch. I didn't know he was a black president. That was pretty incredible. The first black president, that was amazing. And then you have, you know, us not only, you know, still in Afghanistan, but in Iraq, and then we went and did some stuff where Gaddafi, messing with Gaddafi, and it's just no end. So, yeah, not to mention the natural disasters that are going on now. It's definitely not getting better, that's for sure.
And that kind of ties into your book, Apocalypse. But, you know, before we jump into that, because there's so much we can talk about here, if somebody's listening to us right now and they say, okay, I'm ready, I want to get out there, and I want to do what Dan Martin did. I want to create a house that is completely operating in harmony with Mother Nature, using solar power, wind power. I want to collect, you know, rain for water and have, you know, gravity systems. I want to have, you know, compost toilets, you know, all the stuff that you did. How much money would that person need to build that house, you think?
Oh, if they did it the right way with the knowledge that I have now, that I'm basically giving away in the books, if they can have that as a resource, you're talking almost nothing. I mean, in the end, after all the trial and error stuff, we were building compost toilets for dollars. I mean, $11 something, and in material, wind turbines, you know, maybe $30, just basically for free. You could do it for free on most of the stuff. We built our house, a whole house, swimming pool in the middle, you know, king size bed, everything, for about, I don't know, $300 or something, if that, $282. And basically that was just new hardware because I didn't want to recycle, you know, rusty bolts and stuff. So, I mean, if you're building with nature, you know, natural building materials like hay bales and papercrete or cob or rammed earth or compressed blocks, recycled reclaimed materials, it's free. You know, it's everywhere. They give you, you know, tires for free because they have to pay somebody to haul it off to the dump. So, and then there's dirt everywhere. There's adobe. There's, you know, underground homes that you can do. It's just basically your labor. You know, once all the trial and error stuff is already done for you.
And so, people actually hire you to do this. I know you've done that in the past, right?
Right, right. They we don't charge anything. I'm trying to kind of get away from this now, but we didn't charge anything for any of this. I would come out and do an on-site evaluation of what you got and what your resources are, and I do a flood design for you, and I would even help you set it up and kind of oversee everything and get you going. They were just responsible for us getting there and any materials they needed. But
well, I tell you what,
we're trying to refocus now.
Yeah, well, we're going to go ahead and take another break, but I want everybody to know something that Dan and I were working together here to help raise money for the Sunshine Simple Nonprofit Foundation that you've heard me talk about on the show to provide solar and other independent technologies for people in need and crisis and help introduce them to that. And right now, if you go to sunshinesimple.com and click the link there to our nonprofit, Alpha, you can actually find the complete collection of do-it-yourself manuals that Dan Martin has written, and it costs $29.99. Half of that goes to form the Sunshine Simple Nonprofit Foundation, and let me tell you, this is the best $29.99 you will ever spend. When we come back, folks, we will talk with Dan more about his book, Apocalypse, How to Survive a Global Crisis. And sounds spooky, but it may be coming up soon. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. sufficient.com, and that'll be linked up for you at speakingofstrange.com, but DIYsufficient.com, you can learn more about how Dan Martin accomplished self-sufficiency. And if you go to sunshinesimple.com and buy his complete collection there, you'll be helping us out with our foundation. And here are some of the types of books in this collection. How to Retire Early, How to Build a Free Home, How to Build a Super Cooler, How to Build a Biodigester, How to Make Methane Fuel, How to Build a Solar Cooker. It just goes on and on. You know, wind turbines, solar panels, how to make penicillin. I mean, it's incredible. About 40 different guides you get here covering dozens of subjects for $29.99 at sunshinesimple.com. And one of your books that's been especially popular, Dan, is this book called Apocalypse, How to Survive a Global Crisis. And on the cover, there's a mushroom cloud, there's an asteroid hitting Earth, looks like some type of an epidemic is portrayed, but also it appears there is a huge flying saucer shooting a beam down on a city. Is that right?
Yeah, you like that one.
Huh? I love that one. So, I mean, tell us what your idea is on this thing called the apocalypse. What's this all about?
Well, you know, you can't help to see trends that are happening on our planet and in throughout history. Every major society collapses. It's happened with the Jews. It happens with the Romans, the Greeks, the UK, the British, the Russians just collapsed. Every superpower collapses. The Mongolians. So that's going to happen. That's a guaranteed. And this book, a lot of people think that this book is about the apocalypse or doomsday or, you know, the thing that's going to wipe us out all, like the dinosaurs got wiped out. And it is for that, but it's really meant for every catastrophe, every crisis, every natural disaster, every Hurricane Sandy, Katrina, the Twin Towers get, you know, every terrorist attack, every viral epidemic, war, invasion, economic collapse, government collapse. You got some 20, 30 governments collapsing in Europe and in Saudi Arabia right now. So this book just kind of prepares people and teaches them what to know step by step, in a very easy format, how to, you know, prepare themselves and how to protect their family. It's kind of like another insurance policy. You know, people have health insurance, they have dental insurance, they have home insurance, they have fire insurance, boat insurance, flood insurance, life insurance. They have probably insurance on their cell phone, which, funny enough, will be worth completely nothing if any of these things actually happened and our society as we know it collapsed. There would be no more insurances.
Yeah.
So this is just another way, and might be the only way, to really take care of your family and protect your family.
And this is
if something happens.
And this is a highly illustrated book. I mean, it's step by step, even with, you know, graphic stuff about how to conduct surgery, how to properly process a shot animal, how to facilitate giving birth. I mean, it's all in here. It's a fantastic book. And so you've pretty much dedicated your life now, it seems, to education. After going through that experience of 6 years, I mean, why are you back now? Why not go back to that life? What's your life like right now?
Well, when we came out, we were doing a lot of seminars, lectures, interviews, TV interviews, radio interviews, newspaper and magazine interviews. Wrote the book, did the book release, did a lot of projects abroad, did host a lot of interns and volunteers in other countries doing projects. We did a lot of relief work. We were there in Haiti during the hurricane. We went to Japan. We were in Chile, which actually Chile just had another big earthquake. We were in Colombia during the epidemic. So we were doing a lot of relief work. Now I'm starting an animal preserve. I'm actually back up in the United States. We were in Mexico for the last few years. I'm back up in the United States. We bought some more property in Texas. We're starting an animal preserve. And that's kind of where we're focusing our energy now.
So why have you chosen to take advantage of the technology again? Why not go off into isolation? Have you found that this life is actually somehow more rewarding?
No, we will. I'll do the same thing I did in Mexico. We went and left to Mexico. We did it out West Texas. I'll do the same thing here. It's just, you know, I don't know, it's just a cycle of things. It's where life took us. Life took us out of society. Life brought us in. Life took us to teaching people, and life has taken us away from that. And we'll end somewhere, you know, in the middle or back off and in a different place.
So what do you think the likelihood of some kind of an alien invasion actually may be?
I would say it's guaranteed. In our lifetime, I don't know. I couldn't say. Might happen, might not happen, if it hasn't happened already. Van de Daniken, all his work, you know, all his research is just, you know, shows a lot of proof that it's already been happening. Aliens exist, there's no question about that. NASA has relented. The Pope has accepted, you know, it's just a fact. For us to think that we're the only intelligent life in the universe, it's ridiculous. We've already found other life in the universe. We've already found life on other planets. We brought back bacteria from other planets. It's already proven. There's no debate anymore. It's there. Will we see it in our lifetime? I hope so.
I don't know if this is something you want to talk about. You actually saw something like a flying saucer once, didn't you? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I can. I'm not supposed to talk about it, but I don't care now. When I got out of the military, I had secret clearance, which everybody in the military has when you go in the military. It's not top secret. It's not confidential. It's nothing high like government officials have, but it's just high enough that you can work on military technology and weapons without disclosing anything. So that clearance, it goes on for another year, I think, after you get out of the military, so that you can get on with government projects and government grants and stuff to work on government military equipment. So I was a contractor out of San Antonio, and a contracting company contacted me, asked me if I had any big-bodied aircraft experience, and I had worked on C-17s, C-5s, C-141s, P-3s, all kinds of big aircraft. And so they flew me out to Dallas International Airport, or Houston International Airport, I don't remember. And they took us to the end of the runway. It wasn't part of the international airport. There's a lot of different companies on the airfield besides the airport. And in one of these back hangars, we sat there for 3 days going through debriefing and signing confidentiality agreements and non-disclosure agreements, and basically promising not to ever tell anybody what we saw. And so eventually we got in. There was about six of us, and one electrician, one structures guy. I was working on the hydraulics, and I don't know what the other ones were doing. And so they bring us in this big hangar, and there's this huge aircraft that just, you know, a disc, a flying saucer-looking thing. It was completely covered in tarps. You couldn't really see anything of it, just the shape of it. And, I mean, it was enormous. It was probably, I don't know, maybe 70, 80 feet wide by 70, 80 feet by maybe 10, 15 feet thick. And I was escorted to a little section where the tarps were removed, some panels were removed, and I worked on the hydraulics for about a week. We built everything, and that was the end of it.
Wow. So you don't know if that was man-made or extraterrestrial, or it obviously wasn't interdimensional. It was a real physical object you were working on there.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
It
could have been something in between.
All right. Well, we're up on another break here, and when we come back from this break, unfortunately, we'll be in the last segment here. So I'd like to talk even more about what you would like to see people do right now. I mean, you've devoted your life to education, and you've who knows how long you're going to be in this world, so to speak, before you vanish off into some mysterious seclusion. Folks, I'm talking right now with Dan Martin, and his website is DIY, as in do-it-yourself, DIYsufficient.com, and you can go there and find a variety of great products, and he also offers consultation. I highly recommend you go check this out. There's also going to be a link at speakingofstrange.com. Fascinating. Let me tell you, you could do a whole TV show with this guy. We might just do it. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. Thanks for spending your Saturday night with us. It's called Speaking of Strange. Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren in the final minutes of hour number one. Next hour is the Dark 30 hour when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So stick around if you're interested in that. I'm wrapping up my conversation with Dan Martin. And by the way, you know, when we were shooting the TV segment with him, we shot some fantastic footage where he was showing us all around his property and how he set his house up, specifically how everything was built. And we are working on being able to put that footage on the internet for free for everybody to see and learn from. And that's important to just be educated. You know, knowledge is power. And so in these final minutes here, Dan, kind of tell everybody what you would like to see happen right now in the world. What can our listeners do?
Like you said, you got it exactly right. Learn something. My books are dollars at sunshinesimple.com. You said for $29.95.
That's right.
You get 40 books.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, 70 cents a book?
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. But if you don't get my books, that's okay. Get some book. Go to a class. Learn something. Anything that's not just, you know, the newest iPhone app or something. Learn how to fish. Learn how to shoot a gun. Learn how to cook something. It's insane how much we don't know. And when, if something does happen, you know, you can provide for your wife, your kids. You know, isn't that worth, you know, a few hours a week or a few hours a month of learning something? If nothing happens, great, no harm done. But you know, something happens to everyone everywhere. There's a hurricane, there's a tornado, there's a fire, there's a mudslide. Something's going to happen. And just a few days without electricity shuts down all the stores, all the food goes bad, the shipping, a few days without gas, all the trucks stop moving food around and all the supply stuff. Where are you then? You know, it's just so easy for our system to shut down. So my suggestion, learn something. You can contact me at, like you said, DIYsufficient.com. I do free advice, I'm doing workshops, I do seminars, so I'm there, I'm a source of information, and there's a lot of other sources of information out there.
And I get the feeling, Dan, you're the kind of guy we could just drop off on some island somewhere, and you know, you'd wake up in the morning completely confident, and like MacGyver, you would cobble together everything you needed and have no doubt that you could survive if anybody could, right?
And we all used to be this way. You know, 80 years ago, 70 years ago, our parents, our grandparents were this way. They lived off the land, and they knew how to do all this stuff. It's just in our generation, nobody knows how to do any of this stuff.
And you're still a very young guy. I mean, and so it's not the sort of thing where, you know, you've had to spend a lifetime learning how to do this stuff.
No, I started this when I was 25. I'm 35 now.
Well,
I retired from Boeing when I was 25 years old.
Wow. So you are living proof, and I think that's the great thing for everybody to realize, that, you know, it's one thing to read some guide about how something can be done, but I'm here to tell everybody I have been there in the field with Dan Martin, and this guy has lived it. He knows the reality of it. He has experienced it, and when you access his work, however you do it, you know that he is speaking from personal experience. So, you know, Dan, I just can't commend you enough. And you are kind of living out a little fantasy that a lot of people have. And the odd thing is, we can all do it. We just have to start right now. And it's, I don't know what this, you know, mental block is that people have. Oh, I can never do that. Yes, you can. And Dan, I'm glad that you have been an example for everybody. And I'm looking forward to working with you on more projects. And thank you so much for having your complete collection there work with me to help provide some funds for the Sunshine Simple Foundation.
Definitely. And thanks for having me, Joshua. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, folks, there you have it. Dan Martin, and if you missed any of this, go ahead and write it down. The main website you need to check out is DIYsufficient.com, as in do it yourself, DIYsufficient.com. Also, if you would like to get his complete collection and help us form the Sunshine Simple Nonprofit Foundation, which is a foundation I'm putting together to send out solar and other independent energy systems to people who are in need, situations like when Sandy hit up north, or, you know, recently there's been a blizzard. I mean, those folks in the Northeast are getting pounded. So, you know, our hearts go out to all of our listeners there in the Northeast who are without power. But go to sunshinesimple.com. And also Dan's book, Apocalypse, How to Survive a Global Crisis. This thing is very comprehensive. It's fully illustrated. And it's graphic, but let me tell you, it's real. So stick around, my friends. The Dark 30 Hour is coming up next. And it's not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. That's why we save it for the end late at night, when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news that probably doesn't get reported so much by the mainstream media the rest of the week. I am Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. And we'll be right back here on Speaking of Strange.